Thank you, men. Well, I am very glad that all of you are here today, because it would be really discouraging to get asked to preach and everybody stayed home for Mother's Day. Really glad that you're here, and it just really shows that you have a heart for God and His church, His people, right? The church are the people, right? Not the building, but the people. And we are here today to worship Him together and to be an encouragement to each other throughout the time that we are here together. I'm really thankful for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Pastor Jim and Kim are off with family responsibilities this weekend. It's a big weekend for them, so I want to encourage you to be praying for them. Pray for their safety. Pray that they have a great time with family away in the different activities that are going on. Would just go off really, really smoothly. Today, I would like to take you to the book of Psalms, and specifically Psalm 136. So as you're turning to Psalm 136, I just want to mention that I'm very thankful for the opportunity that I had this last week to go up to Michigan and visit my family. And I had a great trip, no incidences on the road. I don't know about you guys, when I travel long distances, I like to listen to book tapes, or tapes, that's pretty old, isn't it? CDs or on a device or whatever you want to call it today. And I was able to find a good one, and so that really helped me get through all those hours. It's about nine hours one way, if you're really pushing it. But we had a great time together, and we got a lot done to prepare for the final move that's coming up within the next couple weeks. And so I just want to publicly say thank you, church, for allowing me to do that and to allow me to go home to my family to help them with this move, and also so that we can reconnect as a family. I won't lie to you. We're ready for this part or this phase to be over with, right? And the whole family can be here, and we can just jump in. And we are truly looking forward to pouring our lives into you and this community. And so thank you so much for that. So we're in Psalm 136 today, and let's pause and ask God to help us as we read through this passage, as we talk through this passage, and as His Holy Spirit guides us to understanding the truth of it. God, we just thank you again for the day that you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, for the awesome privilege it is to study your word. Lord, to be able to have a copy of your word in our hands, something that many believers around the world today don't have that privilege. And so, God, we just thank you for that. I just pray, Lord, that as we study Psalm 136 today, that your Holy Spirit would make clear to us exactly what this means. And Lord, even beyond that, that your Holy Spirit would convict us of areas that we need to improve on or some changes that we need to make even before we walk out of the doors of this building. So God, we are completely dependent upon you. We pray, Lord, that you will reveal to us what you want us to see. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 136. And in a while, we're going to read through Psalm 136, possibly like the Israelites read through Psalm 136, and we're going to do this as a group. But by way of introduction, I just want to throw out some things to give you a little bit of context and to give you a little bit of support for the chapter Psalm 136. We don't know completely who wrote Psalm 136. We just don't know that. And we don't really know the occasion for which this chapter was written. But what we do know is that the psalm was written to call Israel as a nation, as a people out, to call them out to praise God. And it's also written to remind the Israelites of God's enduring, lasting love. And I think you're going to see that plainly if you haven't already been reading ahead a little bit in your Bibles. Of God's lasting, enduring love. The passage clearly reminds people of the mercy and love that God has shown them in the past. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the past, don't we? To remember how blessed that we are today. The phrase, His love endures forever, is woven throughout this call to praise 26 times. That's 26 times for 26 verses. Do you think that that might be a big idea of this chapter? That God wants to get, first off, the nation of Israel's attention, but also our attention as well today, as we are the secondary hearers of this word. So why is this repeated 26 times? I don't have some biblical big explanation to give you for that. It's really kind of simple. It's because repetitions are necessary because we're all prone to to overlook things and to forget things, right? It's kind of like this comic, forgetful folk. This guy's attending a forgetful folks support group. And you guys see the comic there? He says, "My name's Bill and I'm forgetful." And everyone says, "Hi, Carl." Like, "Hi, Carl." He totally forgot his name, right? And so sometimes that happens, but sometimes that happens on a serious note in our relationship with God. And we can know about God. We can even follow after God. We can even make decisions at camp or wherever it might be to follow after God 100% with our lives. And we might be busy doing things for God, but we forget about God's love for us. And it's not something that motivates us to serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, to the best of our abilities. It's just kind of like, yeah, I know God loves me, and that's great. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, but it's really not why you're doing what you're doing, because you might be, just be going through the motions of serving God and serving other people in your own strength. And I really think that that's what's at the heart of Psalm 136. God wants us to know that his love endures forever. And the things that have happened in the nation of Israel's life up to this point, God points them back to that and says, look at what's happened. My love endures forever. And if we were honest with ourselves, we could also write a chapter for ourselves and list the different things that God has done for us and end each phrase with, God's love endures forever. And maybe you'll do that this afternoon. In Psalm 136, we're reminded of the enduring love of God, and God wants us to remember this moment by moment and day by day. It's not an academic thing. It is an actual decision to focus and concentrate on the love that God has for you and for others consistently, all the time, as much as possible. God's enduring love for us should always be at the forefront of our minds. Continually remembering and acknowledging God's love for us helps us to be humble people. It helps us to love God back the way that we should. You know, sometimes we say we love God, but we're not really loving him back the way that we should, in a humble way and in a complete way. Remembering and acknowledging God's love for us helps us to deal with others and to love them in a way that would please God. The way that that's manifested is by extending mercy and grace and forgiveness in relationships, even when it's hard, even when it's been hurtful to us as people, even when it's divided families or divided churches, no matter what it may be. When we remember what God has done for us and the love that he has shown us in our unfaithfulness and in our sin, it should motivate us to treat other people the way that God sees them and would treat them. You know, when we also remember and acknowledge God's love for us, it helps us to make decisions that would please God and bring glory to him instead of making sinful choices that we might make. Right? Are you guys understanding where we're going with this? Remembering God's love is vitally important in a Christian life and in this relationship with God. Vitally important. Not just to know it, but to motivate us to love him back. So we want to read Psalm 136, and out of respect for God's word, I'm going to ask you guys to stand. Mothers, you've been standing a lot, I know, but I think you can do this. Someone help your mother out if you need to, all right? I want you to stand with me, and I will read the white sections of the passage, and I would like for all of you all together, this is going to be a great exercise, right? I would like for all of you to read the yellow sections after I read the white sections. Okay, are we good with this? Is everybody happy? Give me a thumbs up if you're ready to go. You guys awake? All right, good. All right, here we go. Psalm 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Nice job. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. Who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day. Is it up there? I can't see it. So can someone help me out here? His what? Okay. I couldn't see it on the screen back here. Sorry, that's my bad. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down the great kings and killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance. Its love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. All right, thank you. Have a seat, and thank you for your help as well. All right? So I think you kind of get the point of the passage, right? His love endures forever. Do you see that? Oh, great. We can go home now, right? Just remember that. Let's put that into practice. Let's get a start on the restaurants for Mother's Day, right? Well, we want to look through this a little bit further and see what God has for us. And we want to break this down because I think there might be some things in here that might stick out to you as important. Maybe God will reach down and touch your heart today and challenge you in a way that you haven't been challenged before in regard to God's love for you, which, by the way, endures forever. His love endures forever. So I want to look at several different things today throughout this passage. In the first one, in verses 1 through 3, we see that God is good, and no one is greater than him. There is no one greater than God, and he's a good God. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. We need to be giving thanks to God for his goodness to us. You might say, well, Pastor Matt, that's a no-brainer. We need to be giving thanks to God for his goodness to us. I do thank God. We thank God every time we sit down and we pray to have, we pray that God would bless our food and give us a good day at every meal. And that's great and everything. But my point is, we need to be giving thanks to God for his goodness to us all the time. Because God is patient. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the word of God says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. We need to thank God for his patience. He's a good God. God is also merciful, and when we deserve punishment, God is so merciful to us that he sometimes blesses us instead of punishing us. Maybe that's happened in your life. That has certainly happened in my life on more than one occasion where I know that I deserve punishment, but God had mercy upon me and even blessed me instead of punishing me. God is a good God. He's a merciful God. God is a gracious God. To be gracious means to favor or to show kindness to an inferior or to be compassionate. And that's the type of God that we serve. He's a gracious God. In Ephesians 1:7, it shows us about God's grace. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Through the sacrifice of his son Jesus on the cross, we have received his grace. And that's something that we should be thankful for. We also see in verses 1 through 3 that God is greater than any other thing that men may choose to worship. We have a lot of things in our culture that we worship today, right? Chief among them, I believe, is money. I don't know what it is. It's just our sinfulness and even our fleshly desire to have more and more and more. And sometimes we can have immense amounts of money. Many of us sitting and standing in this room today, we have so much more than most other people in the world. But for some of us, it just doesn't seem to be enough. And we keep chasing more and more and more instead of being content and thankful to God for what he's already given us. So God's greater than money. God is greater than fame. There are some people, their life goal might not be money. They just want to be looked at as somebody who's important. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to feel important or wanting to be valued by your family or the world. But is that more important than your relationship with God? God is bigger than fame seekers. God is greater than other people. You know, maybe there are some of us here today who are more concerned about pleasing people. And you absolutely just stress over the idea that someone might not like what you're doing. Or that I have to perform so that I get the praise and approval of someone else. And that can take the place of trying to even please God in the appropriate ways that we should. Right? But God is bigger. He's greater than that. And then there are many other idols in our culture and even in our minds. And an idol is anything that takes the place of God on the throne of your life. Where God is taken off of that throne and something else in your life, something that you value more than God, is placed on the throne of your life. And you worship that and you live your life to serve whatever it is that you put on that seat. But God is greater than any other thing that we as men and women may seek to worship. He's greater than all of that. And we should be thankful to him for that. Verse 3 says, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his love endures forever. The Lord of Lords here there means there is no higher authority than God. He is the Lord of Lords. God has the power to exercise absolute dominion over all of his realm. In the case of the Lord Jesus, the realm is all of creation. This means that, as one commentator put it that I was reading, he said this: in the end, all other rulers will be conquered or abolished, and he alone will reign supreme as king and lord of all the earth. There is no power, no king, and no lord who can oppose him and win. God, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of Gods, we have to be thankful to him. We are so weak. He is so great. And we need to be thankful to him. We need to give thanks to God. He's kind. He's supreme. He is above all things. He is Lord over all. And just in case you forgot, from the 26 times you said it, his love endures forever. I think the second thing that we can see in this short chapter is in verses 4-9, and it says, God provides for our needs in powerful ways. This is something that you really need to take stock of and think about. And as we talk through this, I want you to be thinking about how has God provided for you in powerful ways as well. Because I know that he has. That's just the type of God he is. He provides for our needs in powerful ways. Starting in verse 4, it says, to him who has done great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights. I love that language. Who made the great lights. We know what that is. His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. God has done amazing things. And the things that he has done are things that we cannot do. He is greater than us. And he's done all of these great things. And it should cause us to be thankful to him. And thankful to him that his love endures forever towards us. God thoughtfully made all things. Have you ever really thought that through, that God thoughtfully made all things? It wasn't just a flippant, oh, I'm kind of bored here, I want to just do this. And I don't mean that to sound disrespectful, but sometimes we do things that way, where we just do things without thinking. But he thoughtfully made and created the things that he created. He created all things in an orderly way, in a way that would even meet the needs of the things that he created, namely us. He thought this through and figured out what are they going to need? What are these animals going to need to survive? What are these creatures that I have made in my image, what are they going to need to survive? And he thoughtfully created all things. You know, the sun, moon, and stars have been giving us light throughout the history of the world, right? And it hasn't changed. It's been faithful. God's been faithful to provide that. Sun, moon, and stars, they regulate our seasons, the tides of the ocean, and they assist us in counting time. And God thoughtfully created these things for our good. Through God's creation, God has provided food for the rest of the creation as well. Are you guys thankful for food? Be honest. How many of you guys are thinking about Mother's Day lunch right now? Come on. All right. Good. We got some honest people here. That's good. All right. I kind of crossed my mind too. I know that sounds kind of weird. I'm up here preaching, but anyway, I'm getting off track here. God provides food for his creation. He thought it all out, and he's provided throughout all of these generations the food that we need to survive. And God is also the sustainer of his creation. He created things. He sustains it. I like to think of it this way. I kind of get a little worked up sometimes when I hear on the news, when I'm reading news stories online or whatever, and people are bellyaching about how, oh, we're going to run out of this and that, and all of this is critical to life on earth, and 50 years from now, nobody's going to be here because there won't be anything left. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. God created all of this, and God has a plan, and we can see it throughout Scripture, and it's coming to a head, hopefully soon. I think it's going to be soon. Do you really think that God is going to make it so that we run out of water here on this planet and we're all going to die before what he says is going to happen is going to happen? It's not. It's not going to happen that way because God is the sustainer of his creation. In Colossians 1 verses 16 through 17, it says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." We can't do that. I can barely keep it together without my family here. I can tell you that, okay? But God holds all things together, all things. God created all things for his glory and for the good of his creation. And we need to thank him for that. If God can do all of this, this is a kind of a reflective question for us to think about. Maybe just something for you to ponder in a moment. If God can do all of this, he can provide for any and all the needs that we have today. Maybe some of you have walked through these doors and come and sit here with tremendous burdens on your shoulders emotionally. Some of you came in here with tremendous burdens on your shoulders physically because you're carrying children, right? And they're squiggling around and everything. But I'm talking about the emotional burdens. Maybe there's some spiritual burdens that you've been carrying. Maybe there's been an extended period of time when you have just been wrestling with God and you're not tapping out. Maybe you're here today because God's calling you to tap out and say, okay, God, I'm done wrestling with you. God can provide for any and all of the needs that you have. Remember what he's done in the past and what we're reminded of in Psalm 136. He loves you and he wants to meet you where you are today. Maybe you're like, Pastor Matt, you don't understand. There's so much sin built up in my life between me and God. There's got to be something that I can do to make myself more attractive to him so that he'll want to forgive me for my sin and that I can stop wrestling with it. No, it doesn't work that way. You go to God on his terms and in his way, and he is graciously waiting for you to say, I'm done, God. I'm all yours. I agree with you, God, about the sin that's in my life. I'm confessing my sin to you. You don't have to do something to earn his love. His love endures, what is it? Forever. It endures forever. So I want to ask you, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that he's that kind of God? And that he can meet your need today, whatever it might be? His love endures forever. The third thing I think we can pick out of this passage, it's found in verses 10 through 22, is that God protects and leads us in powerful ways. God protects and leads us in powerful ways. You know, this illustration just came to mind. I can think of many times in my growing up years, specifically in high school, where I know 100% that God protected me from death. Guys, are there any guys in here who could say, yep, I've done some dumb things, all right? Anything related to fire, anybody? Yeah, okay. We're just kind of built that way, right? How about vehicles moving at fast speeds? How about on gravel roads, fast speeds, all right? There's several of you who just keep putting your hand up for everything, all right? We need to have a little support group or something for all of us, okay? But I can think specifically, there's been some times in my life where God has protected me supernaturally. I'm not joking, okay? And I don't mean that to sound weird or anything. It's the truth. I remember one time I was helping somebody out on a farm in Iowa. This is when I was in high school. And I was just learning how to drive a manual. You know, you see my little red car out here. It's a manual. I love that thing. It's like driving a mini race car. I do the speed limit, though, okay? But I was learning how to drive a manual, and it was this little Datsun pickup truck. You guys remember those little tiny ones? You can't even call it a pickup truck. It was like a modified, I don't know, go-kart with a little bed in the back. And there was so much rust that was flopping in the wind. You know, it was an old farm truck, and these people just trusted me to drive it anywhere. And so I was driving home from working out there, and I think I was going to get some lunch or something. And I pulled out onto Highway 14. And in Iowa, you know, they got these long stretches and these hills are huge or whatever that, you know, you can see probably 2 or 3 miles. Someone's coming over a hill, you just go because you know it's like 3 miles. You can see that far. And so I decided, well, I'm just going to go. Well, I was having trouble getting the truck going. And I kind of was stalling out or whatever. But what I hadn't seen was that this giant Impala thing or whatever from the 70s was barreling down to where I was trying to turn into. And honestly, I didn't see him at all. Did not see them at all. But this is one of the times when I think God protected me. That Impala somehow had the agility to swerve out of the way and not go in the ditch and to continue on the road, when I know that if that thing would have hit me, it had to at least be going 55 or 60 miles an hour, and I would have been killed in that little rust bucket, honestly. Maybe some of you guys can relate to that. You've been in situations like that, and you're like, I do not know how I just survived that. But God is a God who protects and leads us in powerful ways. That's only one example. Maybe in the different times that I speak, I can just kind of open the vault and tell you all of the dumb things I've done in life, okay? But God has definitely protected and led me in powerful ways. And we see that in verses 10 through 22. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. So here in this part of the passage, we have the story of God delivering his people. And many of you know this story because you went to Sunday school when they had flannel graph, right? We all remember that, or most of us do, right? We have flannel graph now. We've got PowerPoint and pictures all over the place. But this is a story where God delivers his people. And you can look it up and read more about it in Exodus 11 through 14 and in Numbers 14 through 36. But this reminder of God's love would have been very, very impactful to the Israelites who were hearing this psalm, especially the first time. It would have been on their minds. In fact, that deliverance that God provided for them is remembered to this day with great diligence. With great diligence in the Jewish world today. God powerfully delivered, God powerfully protected, and he powerfully led the people from bondage to freedom. I tell you what, if I was an Israelite and I had heard that in the setting, whatever setting that they were in, and they had reached the point of his love endures forever, I don't know if I could even speak. Because I probably just would have been in pieces emotionally. Just, God, you do love me, and your love endures forever. His love endures forever. But in the same way, if you think about it, God has done the same for us through his son Jesus. God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins, to die in our place, so that we didn't have to die on a cross for our sins. And those who place their faith and their trust in Jesus are free from the bondage of sin. You see, God protects and leads us in powerful ways. He provides for us in powerful ways too. He sent his son to break the bondage of sin in our life. I can't help but think of Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, we can see, it just fleshes this out even better. Let me read this for you. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized unto his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. He's talking about the rescue operation, if you will, that God did for us. For we have been united with him in his death like his. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say, starting in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but you are under grace. Perhaps Romans 6, 1 through 14 is a passage of scripture every single one of us should take home and spend a lot of time reading and praying through this week. We need to be reminded that God protects us and leads us, delivers us, provides everything we need to have a relationship with him in powerful ways. Delivers us from the bondage of sin. You know, we're not only free from the bondage of sin, we're also secure in the love of God as well. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, it says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." What do you think about that? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. His love endures forever. And it's available to you and to me. Anytime. It endures forever. The fourth thing that we can see in this chapter is found in verses 23 through 25. God is compassionate. His love endures forever. He's a compassionate God. And in verse 24, it says, "He remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever." You see, God remembered the people of Israel in their low times. That's why it's in Psalm 136, this great description of the times when they are in captivity and God powerfully delivers them. He remembered the people of Israel in their low times during their Egyptian and their Babylonian captivity. He didn't stop loving them. He didn't stop caring about them. He didn't cast them aside and pick another group of people to be his people. He loves them because his love endures forever and it's secure. The same type of love that's available to us today, whether we feel secure in that love or not, it is secure. God mercifully rescued the people of Israel, just like he has mercifully rescued us from the bondage of sin. And he's rescued them from the bondage of sin also. And God provides what we need. Verse 25, he says he gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. He provides for every single thing that we need. You guys remember the story when the Israelites were in the desert and they're wandering around. And if you've ever been to a desert, you know that it's not a good place to grow things, right? It's a terrible place to grow things, all right? So how did God provide for them? What was the food that God provided for them? What is it? Manna. God provided for them, even in their great need, when there was no possible way that they could grow food. God provided for them because his love endures forever. He knew what they needed and he provided the need. And again, I have to remind you, no matter what your need is today, God wants to provide for your need. Maybe you need food. He's going to provide your need. Maybe you need some help with something that's going on in the family. God's going to provide your need. Maybe you're like, "Pastor Matt, you have no idea what's going on in my life. And I have these great needs at work. There's just some things going on that I can't fix." God can fix it. Have you gone to him? If he can do all of these other things that we've talked about today, why would we think that he couldn't fix a work situation? Or that he couldn't fix a broken up family? Or a family that is fractured on the inside but looks pretty good on the outside? God is a great God, and he can fix those things. The last thing is in verse 26. God is worthy of our praise and worship. He is more than worthy. There's this pecking order, and God, I can't remember exactly where it is in Scripture, but the servant is never greater than the master. And God is worthy of our praise and worship. And when we start thinking right about God, and we remember that his love endures forever, and that he's powerful to deliver us and to help us in all situations, just like he did Israel, as it's been shown to us in Psalm 136, when we start thinking right and we start doing right, we're going to start feeling right. But we have to make decisions to be thankful to God and to follow him and obey him and to think correctly about him. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time that you truly gave thanks to God for what he's done for you and what he's done for your family? Let's extend it a little bit. When's the last time that you genuinely thanked God for what he's done in this church body? You know, I'm fully aware that there have been some hard times in this church body in the last few years. But you know what? God's love endures forever, right? And there are things to be thankful for. And there may be some work that needs to be done. And maybe some relationships that need to be patched and pursued and sought after. By God's grace, those things can happen. But God is worthy of our praise and our worship. And we need to be giving thanks to God, no matter what our situation or circumstance is. You know, maybe it would be a great idea to write out the different things that God has done for you. And after each thing that you write, you could write, his love endures forever. Make this psalm personal to you. And if you're in a growth group this week, I would encourage you guys to do that. What has God done for you? And then remind yourself that his love endures forever. You know, in conclusion, I'm convinced that we don't think about God's love enough. And I can only say that because I can't read your minds, right? You can't read my mind. Thankful for that. You know, it's just crazy sometimes. And I'm sure you're a little crazy too, all right? But I'm convinced we don't think about God's love for us enough. We often don't live our lives mindful of God's love either. We are prone as people to make decisions on our own and to say, you know what? I got some decisions to make today, and here's what I'm going to do. You know, even as pastors, we do this. And it doesn't end well. You guys know this. It doesn't end well when we take on this attitude or this approach to life. But maybe we could get better at this week, making decisions mindful of God's love. And maybe that would push us back a little bit to say, you know what? I know there's things I need to do in life this week or decisions that I do need to make, but I need to remember first and foremost that God's love endures forever. And I need to be asking him, be thankful to him for what I have and go to him and ask him, what should I do? God, what do you want me to do today? God, you know that I have all this ambition and I want to make plans. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I think it will work. I've seen it work in other churches. I've seen it work in my coworkers' lives. But God, what do you want me to do? Because I'm tired of making the decisions on my own. Because your love endures forever. And I know that you have my best interest in mind as you lead me to whatever it is. You know what? God might lead you to have that uncomfortable conversation with somebody who used to be here. God might lead you to go home today and you eat your lunch with your family and you pull your wife aside into your bedroom and you just look at her in the face and say, I'm not loving you the way that I should. God may lead you to find a new job because you know you're not where you're supposed to be. Or there's things going on there that are tempting for you to compromise your witness for Christ. And you may need to make a change. Maybe you're a young person here today, all ages, and God might lead you to separate from a friend. It's hard to do. But God will also lead you to what's best for you. And I want you to think about this. If we started living life mindful of God's love for us, how would our lives be different? And I wrote down some things here. Maybe we would have more peace in our hearts and in our minds. Maybe there would be more peace in the relationships that we have, starting within our homes, expanding out to our circle of influence. But you know, it's not the circumstances that bring you peace. It's following God that brings you peace. And doing things God's way and being submissive to God. But I wonder if we would have more peace in our lives. I wonder if we lived life mindful of God's love and really mindful of the direction and submissive to the direction that he gave us, if we would have more contentment and thankfulness in our hearts and in our minds. And that when it's there in our hearts and our minds, it comes out. and people can see that you are genuinely content and thankful for what you have. Maybe we would be more gracious and less critical with people or with situations, with anything in our life. Maybe we would be more likely to love those who are hard to love, even when we don't feel like it. You know you can love people and you can demonstrate love for them even if you don't feel that way. It's because it would please God. And maybe we would be more motivated to share the gospel with others. Teenagers, as you're walking in your high school and you're walking down these beautiful halls that have been provided in our school districts, and you see the hurting teenagers that you're walking past day after day after day, and just imagine if you're mindful of God's love for you and God's love for them, maybe God would prompt your heart to reach out to them and even just acknowledge their existence. I truly believe a lot of teenagers are just waiting for somebody to engage them. But maybe living more mindful of God's love would motivate all of us to share the gospel. I think that it would. So we've seen Psalm 136. And we've seen how God is powerful and God is worthy of praise and worship, and his love endures forever. And the last question I have to ask you is, how will you apply what you've heard from God's word today? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." God, we do thank you for your great mercy, for your love, for your kindness. God, I'm so thankful that you are powerful. God, I am so thankful that you're interested in meeting the needs that we have, no matter where we are at in life right now. Some of us in this room could be in complete pieces on the inside, and God, your love endures forever, and you're ready to meet them right where they're at in grace. God, I pray that you help us as a church body to think right about you, to love each other relentlessly. God, I pray that you help us to learn what you brought to us today and to put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen.